loving help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has to crawl.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. This Labor Day weekend, it looks like it's going to be a good one, folks. People are going to be in the park, you know, barbecuing, having fun. And it's just all good. I'm just learning that. I know the other day, me and my son family went over to the park here that's not too far from the studio. And we're finding that a part of the beach that was there is not there anymore, a part of the beach. And there is some sort of a fencing to keep you away from the water. And I'm just now learning the reason why there is no beach is because the lake, Lake Michigan, is rising and it covered the entire beach area. And I'm finding that it's happening now, it's happening all over the city of Chicago along the lake shore. The water is rising and the water is heading in toward not as much into the city as I was thinking, but it is rising and it's, you know, taking up a lot of the beach space, the water, the lake. And they're trying to figure out how to stop it. I don't know how can can you stop nature? People are complaining that some of the dog beaches for dogs only, they have been covered over with lake water, and the dogs can no longer go there and play. Dogs love waters. What, although some dogs like to swim and some dogs do not want to swim. So, you know, but still in all, it's something that's baffling. Some of these city officials, you know, so, and, you know, it's baffling me, you know, and it's baffling beachgoers because they're seeing parts of their beaches covered over with water that was not covered over before. So that's baffling. So they're now trying to figure things out, but I don't know how they're going to cure that. You're messing with nature. This is Lake Michigan. It's a part of the five. It's part of the five Great Lakes. And I don't know what you can do. I'll put down sand bags or build fences or something. I have no idea. But the beaches are being the shoreline of the beaches. The water's coming up on the beach and taking away some of the beach space up there, out there, because I've seen it firsthand, folks. So I know something is not right, you know, but I don't think it's a major problem. It could become one. I mean, we could see lake water rising up over on the avenues and into the neighborhoods. You never know. So we'll keep you abreast of that as soon as they keep me abreast of it. So that's important because it's a part of the weather. And the weather so far in Chicago has been great. Like I said before, it has been one of the best summers that I think I've ever lived through in the city of Chicago or anywhere, period. I mean, it's been one of the best summers ever. And sometimes I feel a little bit taken back when I figure that I haven't really enjoyed it the way I wanted to enjoy it. But just having it, just having these great days, these great temperatures, these great weather forecasts, it's just phenomenal. It's great. And we have enjoyed it a lot. We've enjoyed it a lot. And it makes me sad and hang my head to know that it's going to get cold. Winter is coming to Chicago. As of now, take advantage of this great weather. If you're listening to the show and in Chicago, you know, take advantage of this good weather because it's going fast. It's going fast, you know, and we're going to be in the clutches of winter. Of course, fall hasn't gotten here yet so far during in Chicago. But, you know, every time I mark the end of summer, I mark the beginning of winter regardless. And fall is right in between there. So, you know, and yeah, the lake shores and the beaches are being covered over. Some of the beach space is being covered over with foots and foots of water, lake water, along the shoreline, everywhere where there's a beach in the city of Chicago and even some of the outlining suburbs. Yeah, so that's I had to mention that because that's very serious because my son, he used to, you know, I used to take him and we used to go down there to the beach because he was little. I'm talking about when he was maybe 3 or 4 years old. And we used to go to that little small part of the beach over here. And that is now covered with water. So all I have basically now of that small beach area, I only have memories of it now because it's all covered with water. And it's kind of sad, too. It's very sad because it was a popular spot. It was a popular spot. And, lots of people used to take advantage of it because it was popular. And now it's not there anymore. And maybe, I don't know, if the water decides it wants to recede, we may see it again. I don't know. But I'm going to be checking it out. All right. So you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here. Block Talk Radio. Click follow. Yeah. You know, I find that you probably know this. I find that you can't please everybody. You can't please certain people. And I've known that for just about all of my life, that certain people you cannot please. I mean, no matter how hard you try, you cannot get these people to like you. You cannot get these people to support you. You cannot get these people to, be a part of what you do. You just can't do it. Some people you just can't do this too. And it's true. It's true. So what do you do? What do you do when you can't get people to support you? You can't get people to like you or any of this kind of thing or click like or whatever. You just pass them up. You forget about them. You pass them up. You go on to the next. You keep trying to get friends or find people who are going to be supportive. You're going to find people who can be trustworthy. And there's so many people who are letting other people bring them down. So many people out there are letting themselves be stopped by other negative voices inside their head or people around them that are telling them that they can't make it. They can't do it. Don't do it. That's crazy. That's stupid, you know. And you'll never get anywhere if you let other people around you tell you that you can't do it, or you're a fool for doing it, or laughing at you because you want to make something of yourself. You have to get those kind of people out of your life, or you're never going to get anywhere. If you don't have people around that support you and what you're trying to do, it could be anything, writing a book, starring in a play or something, you know, or becoming an engineer or whatever, a pizza maker or whatever. If you don't have people supporting you, and you do need support, we all need support. If you're good at what you do, you're going to get support. You may not get the kind of support that you were aiming for, but you will get support. And I want to say again, be the best that you can be. Make something of yourself. Make something of your life. Don't just sit around and criticize other people because they're trying to do something with their life. You do something with yours. And the world would be a better place. And that's what this show is all about, making the world a better place. My show is here. We're here to inform, inspire, and entertain, and most of all, empower. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. I'm on Amazon. I got a lot of stuff up there. Going to have more stuff up there by the end of the year, and that should be exciting. All right, today's guest is Brian Diaz. I want to say Diaz, but it looks like Diaz. It has a D-I-E-Z. Brian, author Brian Diaz. That should be fun. It's always fun. I always have great guests on the show, and they are always fun. I don't call it an interview as much. I call it a conversation. Most of the time, if it's an interview, it's kind of a disappointment. You know, if it's an interview, I like to make it. I like to say conversation. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to say this: life is full of little daily annoyances, frustrations. There are those who are inconsiderate of others, like drivers, fast food drive-through, clerks who never get your order right. We've all been through that kind of thing. A series of red lights when you're trying to get somewhere and being stuck in a dead-end job. How many of you out there have been stuck in a dead-end job? How many are actually stuck in a dead-end job right now? Don't be ashamed. I've had them. I've had the jobs where you go nowhere. And the supervisors and the managers are always assholes, you know, threatening you if you don't do this, if you don't get that done, if you don't get this done. Sometimes they're just threatening you just because they have the power to do so. So if you're in a dead-end job, try to get yourself up out of it. I mean, lift yourself up out of it. I mean, some of these jobs are just, you know, starting points for your greatness. You know, we have to start somewhere. So why not start at a dead-end job? But do not make it a dead-end job. I mean, elevate yourself from it. Because we have to get that experience from somewhere and put that down on your resume. But you don't have to stay in that kind of thing, you know. Because dead-end jobs are just what they are called, dead-end. You go nowhere. You work your ass off, bust your ass, and you get nowhere. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see what else it says. It says, being mad at yourself because you are tired of everything, and you can't seem to lose weight, and nothing works. You know, if you're trying to lose weight, you know, it just basically it's eating less and exercising more. That is your entire remedy for losing weight. Eating less and exercising more. All righty. What else does it say? Whatever it is, it can make you no fun to be around. To fight frustration, always keep a positive attitude and say to yourself, I have a lot to be thankful for. Refuse to let frustration steal your joy. Do this and more for a while, and frustration will melt away. That is my thought for the day on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and it is great. All right, Donald Trump visited Mexico today. I don't know what the hell he's doing going to Mexico and trying to talk to Mexico's president. And a lot of the Hispanic people in America, they are saying that this is a joke. Give me a break. This is a joke. Donald Trump and his huge ego. And that's what he has. He has a huge ego. He done said all these bad and awful things about Hispanics. And then he's going to go over there and visit the Mexican president. You know, and the thing about it, he didn't take any reporters with him. So we don't know what he said. We have to take his word for it. And taking Donald's word for it, as we know, is not good. So he didn't take any reporters. There was nobody over there covering him or anything because he didn't want that. So once he gets back from Mexico, he can tell us anything that he wants that went on. We don't know. We weren't there. We don't know what was said. You know how Donald Trump lies, because most people calling him a pathological liar, a serial liar. And it seems true. But I'm pretty sure people my understanding, this is historical. They've asked Hillary Clinton to go, but she said that she didn't feel like, I'm assuming that she didn't want to go for some reason or other. But Donald went, and he has a bad relationship with Hispanics. He has a bad relationship with African Americans. He knows that the writing is on the wall. And he knows he cannot win this election without the Hispanic vote. He cannot win this election without the African-American vote. And these are two groups of people that he has totally pissed off. And Hispanics are saying, what the hell is Donald Trump going over there? They say they don't like him. They don't like him. And because Donald Trump wants to build a wall to keep them from out of America, and he wants to deport them. Right now he's softening, but I wouldn't trust Donald Trump to be softening, because Donald Trump changes his mind as you look at him. You know, he could be for this one day and against it the next. And my thinking is, if he becomes president of the United States, it will be the same thing. He says he's softening on deporting 11 million Hispanics, illegal immigrants from America. Once he becomes president, they're going to be lined up and ready to go. And this is what his supporters want from him. This is what they want to hear. They don't want to hear that he's not going to build a wall. They don't want to hear that he's not going to throw these people out of the country. This is where his support comes from. He better say that, you know, because Donald Trump has a lot of support. Hillary Clinton is declining in the national polling. Donald Trump is creeping up behind her. And I'll say this on the show, and I've said it before, it's always possible. It's possible that Donald Trump is going to beat her butt. If she doesn't ratchet up a little bit, he's gonna beat her. I don't know if it's going to be a landslide. I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, but I do know that Donald Trump is louder than she is. Donald Trump is getting most of the publicity. He's in the news every damn day. He's like all over the place. As I look at Hillary Clinton, it looks like she's tired. She needs rest or something. I can understand that. But Donald Trump is like, he's up and at him. He's gone. You know, I mean, his doctor gave him a 5-minute health examination, and he's great. If you read that letter, if you know about this guy, he's a weird looking doc. He's a weird looking dude, Donald Trump's doctor. I mean, this guy looked like a hippie from Woodstock or something, you know. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to take a, I don't know, Facebook keeps popping up on my screen here. We're going to take a small break right here, folks, and we will be right back.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, and we are helping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go.
Welcome back to the show, the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY, broadcasting live out of Chicago. I'm in my studio as always, and I got this great big ass window sitting in front of me, and it is a great day out in the world as I can see it from here. And I'm broadcasting live from Chicago. August, Chicago murderers. As you know, if you're listening to the show all the time, you know I'm always railing about this crime that goes on, it seems, relentlessly in the city of Chicago. August has been one of the most violent months in Chicago for homicides, murders, shootings, you name it. In 2 decades, in some cases people said 20 years, 22 years. In over 2 decades, August 2016 is the most violent month in Chicago for shooting in 2 decades. That is a damn shame. And the officials, the police department, the mayor, the governor, these people ought to be ashamed of themselves. They can't seem or want to eradicate the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois of all of this violence. And I've offered solution after solution on this show. Go check them out. I mean, you know, podcast some of the shows and you will see and hear, not see, but hear some of the solutions that I offer for lowering or eliminating crime in the city of Chicago. I mean, the officials, the politicians ought to be embarrassed. You got people leaving the city because of the high crime. You got people leaving the southwest sides of the city because of the high crime in those areas. And some of those folks, when they leave those high crime areas, they move right into another high crime area. They're trying to escape one high crime area by going to another one. That makes no sense. Of course, you know, when they're trying to escape these high crime areas, most of the time these are families and mothers and fathers are trying to get their kids out of harm's way, which is understandable. But it doesn't make any sense for some of these families to go from one crime area to a next. And it's just as deadly. And then, you know, something happens, something deadly, something fatal that they thought they was leaving a crime zone to only enter another crime zone. And that's sad. And it's just awful that these politicians just can't seem to come up with any plan, any idea lowering crime. I do know that there's a lot of people on the south and west sides of the city, as I speak now, are having all kinds of rallies and walks and to end the violence. I mean, you got media people and all these kinds of people who are gathering with other like-minded people to try to stop the violence. But it's not going to stop. That's not going to stop. You can have all the marches you want. You can have all the speeches and town hall meetings, auditorium meetings, people talking. That is not going to stop the violence. I said yesterday, the way you're going to stop this violence is you have to put policemen in these high crime areas in the city. You have to put, you not just put them there, but post them there 24 hours, a post. You have to post them there. Because if police are pulling, the bad guys see them when they come and when they go. The bad guys know when they leave. And that is when the bad guys pounce. The bad guys aren't going to shoot if they see the policeman around. They're going to wait until that policeman leaves that area. Then they're going to start shooting. This is why I've said so many times on this show, you want to post a police officer or police officers in these crime-ridden neighborhoods 24/7 or security guards, whatever. I mean, you armed security guards and 24/7. This is one way of lowering crime in some of these neighborhoods. But they will tell you, the superintendent and the mayor will tell you that they do not have the manpower. I remember Rahm Emanuel saying that he was going to hire 1,000 or so police officers during his first campaign for mayor. And we're still waiting for that. You know, that never happened. You know, the only thing he seems to be dwelling on is pension, raising more taxes to pay teachers' pensions instead of I think they should be focusing on this crime. I don't think the mayor, the governor should be doing anything else no matter what is on that itinerary, anything else but focusing on the crime in this city. This has to be a more of an embarrassment for them than it is for the citizens of this state. Because when people around the world look at Chicago, and people in other states in America look at Chicago, they look at the leadership at the top, the governor, the mayor, the superintendent. They are criticizing these people for the crime and mayhem and carnage that's left in this, in the third largest city. They're not looking at you or me or the average Joe. They're looking at these leaders, so-called leaders, who seems to be numb to this, who seems not to want to really do anything. And I've said before, and I've gave another solution to solving crime. Put the National Guard, if I can say it, the National Guard over in some of these high crime areas. The National Guard, even the Army, put the Army over there. Post the Army, post the National Guard in some high crime areas. This is another way of lowering crime in the city of Chicago. The bad guys over in these high crime areas, they are not going to shoot at the military. You know why? Because the military will shoot back. And I've said this before. I mentioned it probably on yesterday's show. And I will mention it every day of the week until something is done. I've said before, you can take my ideas and use them as your own. It doesn't bother me as long as something is being done, because I'm tired of hearing about people getting shot down when this doesn't have to happen. Senseless shootings, senseless killings, murder. I'm sick of it, especially of the children. Children can't go to the store. They can't walk to the park. They can't sit on their porches. And some of these neighborhoods, it's like a ghost town, because after 7 or 8 o'clock, everybody's off the street. Everybody, the streets are blanketed. They are, there's nothing out there. It's like a ghost town, because everybody's inside because they're afraid that, you know, shooting is going to start. And this is a damn shame. Nobody should have to be buried inside their house because they're afraid to go outside. They might get shot. All of this goes back to the leadership, supposedly leadership in the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. Like I've just got through saying, when people around the world and in America think of Chicago and the violence, they think of the leadership at the top. And I'm surprised that President Obama, he will not address or focus in on the violence in this city, since he calls this city his home. Supposedly, he's going to be back here once his presidency ends in January. I just don't understand why Obama will not address this. He has addressed it, but we need more than just talk. Talking is not going to get it. We need more than people talking about it. We already know about it. We don't need you to talk about it. We need you to do something about it. Do something. Now, I know so many talk show hosts, television and radio, who all they do is sit down and talk about the violence. No one that I know of can come up with any solutions. But this show, the George Wilder Jr. Show, comes up with solutions to solve problems. That's what this show is all about, solving problems. And that's what this show will continue to be about, solving problems in the city of Chicago. Because it doesn't make sense, folks. August is the most violent month in 20 years.
August 2016. And that's a damn shame. That's an awful shame. Even I look at the leadership at the top. I look at the governor. I blame the mayor. I blame the superintendent. All they are pointing the blame elsewhere. Bad parenting. Criminals getting out of jail too soon. These are their excuses. You know, well, I did this. I did that. You did nothing. We're paying these guys, taxpayers. We are paying these people. We're just giving them money because they're not earning it. They're not earning their salary, far as I'm concerned, because crime is still going up, 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 up and becoming out of control. What is this? The OK Corral? Everybody seemed to be carrying a gun. I mean, you walk down the street, you don't know who's carrying a gun. You don't know who is not carrying a gun. But you piss somebody off and you're going to find out who's carrying a gun. Crime is just, it's just too much. It is just too much. And I try on this show to make the world a better place, because that's what it's all about, making the world a better place. And here is Elizabeth Warren.
Thank you, Massachusetts, for the great honor of serving as your senator. Thank you, guys. What a night. Wow. Michelle Obama, Cory Booker. Still have Bernie coming up. Bernie reminds us what Democrats fight for every day. Thank you, Bernie. Thank you. Now, we are here tonight because America faces a choice, the choice of a new president. On one side is a man who inherited a fortune from his father and kept it going by cheating people, by skipping out on debts. A man who has never sacrificed anything for anyone. A man who cares only for himself every minute of every day. On the other side is one of the smartest, toughest, most tenacious people on this planet. A woman who fights for children, for women, for health care, for human rights. A woman who fights for all of us and who is strong enough to win those fights. We're here today because our choice is Hillary Clinton. I'm with Hillary. I'm with Hillary. I'm with Hillary. You know, for me, this choice is personal. It's about who we are as a people. It's about what kind of a country we want to be. I grew up in Oklahoma. My daddy ended up as a maintenance man. And my mom worked a minimum wage job at Sears. My three brothers served in the military. The oldest was career, 288 combat missions in Vietnam. The second were construction. And the third started his own small business. Me, I got married at 19, graduated from a commuter college in Texas that cost $50 a semester. The way I see it, I'm a janitor's daughter who became a public school teacher, a professor, and a United States senator. America is truly a country of opportunity. Truly. I am deeply grateful to that America. I believe in that America. But I'm worried. I'm worried that my story is locked in the past. Worried that opportunity is slipping away for people who work hard and play by the rules. I mean, look around. Americans bust their tails, some working two or three jobs, but wages stay flat. Meanwhile, the basic costs of making it from month to month keep going up. housing, health care, child care, the costs are out of sight. Young people are getting crushed by student loans. Working people are in debt. Seniors can't stretch a Social Security check to cover the basics. And even families who are okay today worry it could all fall apart tomorrow. This is not right. It is not. And here's the thing. America isn't going broke. The stock market is breaking records. Corporate profits are at all-time highs. CEOs make tens of millions of dollars. There's lots of wealth in America, but it isn't trickling down to hardworking families like yours. Does anyone here have a problem with that? Yeah, well, I do too. People get it. The system is rigged. You know, it's true. Now, so-called experts claim America is in trouble because both political parties in Washington refuse to compromise. Gridlock. That is just flat wrong. Washington works great for those at the top. When giant companies wanted more tax loopholes, Washington got it done. When huge energy companies wanted to tear up our environment, Washington got it done. When enormous Wall Street banks wanted new regulatory loopholes, Washington got it done. No gridlock there. But try to do something, anything, for working people, and you'll have a fight on your hands. Democrats have taken on those fights. That's what we do. Democrats fought to get health insurance for more Americans. Democrats fought for a strong consumer agency so big banks can't cheat people. We fought, we won, and we improved the lives of millions of people. Thank you, Barack Obama. Yes, we won, but Republicans and lobbyists battled us every step of the way. 5 years later, that consumer agency has returned $11 billion to families who were cheated. And Republicans, they're still trying to kill it. Now look, I'm not someone who thinks that Republicans are always wrong and Democrats are always right. There's enough blame to go around. But there is a huge difference between people fighting for a level playing field and the people fighting to keep the system rigged. Look at Congress since the Republicans took over. Democrats proposed refinancing student loans. And Republicans, they said no. Democrats proposed ending tax breaks for corporations that ship jobs overseas. And Republicans, they said no. Democrats proposed raising the minimum wage. And Republicans, they said no. So to every Republican in Congress who said no, this November, the American people are coming for you. Trump. In all these fights, not once did he lift a finger to help working people. And why would he? His whole life has been about taking advantage of that rigged system. Time after time, he preyed on working people, people in debt, people who had fallen on hard times. He's conned them, he's defrauded them, and he's ripped them off. Look at his history. Donald Trump said he was excited for the 2008 housing crash that devastated millions of American families because he thought it would help him scoop up more real estate on the cheap. Donald Trump set up a fake university to make money by cheating people and taking their life savings. Donald Trump goes on and on and on about being a successful businessman, but he filed business bankruptcy 6 times, always to protect his own money and stick the investors and contractors with the bill. Donald Trump hired plumbers and painters and construction workers to do hard labor for his businesses. Then he told them to take only a fraction of what he owed or fight his lawyers in court for years. So, what kind of a man acts like this? What kind of a man roots for an economic crash that cost millions of people their jobs, their homes, their life savings? What kind of a man cheats students, cheats investors, cheats workers? Well, I'll tell you what kind of a man who must never be president of the United States.
I agree with you right there. I totally do. I want to talk a little bit about Alzheimer's. And because one of my favorite comic actors, Gene Wilder, succumbed to Alzheimer's, if you've been keeping up with that thing. And it's so many people around the world, millions of people who are suffering from Alzheimer's or will be at some point in time in their life. And I just wanted to say something. I'm not a doctor. I'm not affiliated with any medical center or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, I don't think you really need to be in order to say what I'm about to say. Alzheimer's can be cured. Anything can be cured. Alzheimer's can be cured. Cancer can be cured. Diabetes can be cured. But one of the things is, folks, that the medical industry doesn't want those things, doesn't want you to be cured from those things. And that's the truth. Diabetes can be cured. I mean, 40 years of cancer research and they can't find a cure. Give me a break. Same thing with diabetes. Give me a break. Heart disease can be reversed. Any kind of sickness you get can be cured. But the medical industry, they don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that because to keep you sick, it is profitable. It's profitable to keep you sick, to keep you in a hospital. Same thing with Alzheimer's, if I can say it, I can't remember. It is profitable for the medical. Real doctors, legitimate doctors will tell you that. They will tell you that the medical industry, it's a profitable one. Give me a break. They don't have a cure for cancer. Give me a break. These people know how to cure cancer. They know how to cure every disease that you've got. Doesn't matter what you get, they can cure it. It can be cured. Lung cancer, it can be cured. But they don't want to cure it because they want to keep you on medication. And if you can't afford, if you can afford all the medications and all the treatments, then you die. Simple as that. But if you're rich enough, you're famous enough, you're important enough, they will save your life, no matter what disease you have. But if you're poor and you need all this medication and treatment and you can't afford it, bing, you're dead. Alzheimer's can be cured. For one of the things, I'm not going to be talking about curing Alzheimer's. I'm going to be talking about preventing it. Preventing it. And it's just some of the simplest ways you can prevent getting Alzheimer's. And I don't think you have to be in your 80s, 90s to get Alzheimer's. I think Alzheimer's starts setting in your 40s, can start setting in on you in your 40s, 50s, 60s. maybe even 30s. Who knows? I'm pretty sure some doctors will tell you they've seen Alzheimer's patients even in their 30s. But one of the cures for Alzheimer's, just like your body needs exercise. You have to, you want to have a strong body. You want to have muscles and all this kind of thing. You want to have a healthy body. You're going to exercise. Exercise is going to help you to maintain, help to maintain a healthy body. You have to, in order to have a healthy body, in some cases, you have to exercise. You know, and exercise makes your body stronger. That's the same thing you have to do with your brain. You want it to work, you have to exercise your brain. That this is one of the ways you can stem off Alzheimer's is exercising your brain. Just like you exercise your body, also exercise your brain. And the way you exercise your brain is reading, writing, playing video games. Yeah, I mean, some of you probably didn't know that, but you know, that's how you exercise your brain. Keep your brain fresh and new by no matter what age you are, no matter what age you're at. If you exercising your brain, there is no way in the hell that you're going to start getting dementia, which leads to, I'm thinking, to autism. Not autism, but Alzheimer's. Sorry about that. Autism is for another show. But preventing Alzheimer's is simple. And I think any doctor will tell you, any medical professional will say that. Exercise your brain. I know it's a lot of people out there who do not like to read, wouldn't even pick up a book if it hit them in the face or something. Exercise your brain. That's it. You know, read, write, do something that's going to, you know, strengthen your thinking. That's something that's going to strengthen your thinking process. I am in the future of the show, I'm going to have a doctor on, an expert on, who's going to be talking about Alzheimer's. And I hope you tune in and, you know, schedule a time to listen to that show. And we're going to talk about it. And he's going to get into more, he or she will get into more on the depth of autism. Alzheimer's. Get in the depth of Alzheimer's. And we're going to find out a hell of a lot more about it. I don't really want to know too much about it. I want to know how to prevent it, you know, keep it from happening. And I do know that one way of preventing Alzheimer's is to keep your mind fresh. Whether you read, you write, in conversation with people, talk, play video games. You know, play video games. I mean, video games, crossword puzzles, Sudoku, you know, these kinds of things can help strengthen your brain, exercising your brain, playing games. You can prevent it, or you can stop the onset of Alzheimer's. I don't know why I keep saying autism, because I guess because they sound so much alike. And my son and one of my, you know, has that. And it's something to think about, folks. So, you know, if you know somebody who's coming down with autism, or you think somebody's got autism, their memory is sort of spotty. They seem to forget a lot of things. Try, you know, something different instead of medication. You know, there's all kind of medications for Alzheimer's, I'm sure. But the best medication for Alzheimer's is to exercise your brain. You don't need to be putting that, you don't need to be buying that medication, putting money into the pockets of the medical industry. When the simplest thing you can do is play video games, board games, chess, checkers, something that's going to stimulate your brain. Because as we get older, we need to do those things a lot more. And I was just shocked to hell to hear that Gene Wilder, no relation, Gene Wilder passed away from symptoms, complications of Alzheimer's. And I just knew I had to talk about that on the show today, you know. But that's one of the things you can do to prevent it. So that's what this show is all about, making the world a better place. So if, you know, I mean, if you want to research up on it and find out more about it, go right ahead. There's lots of websites around the internet that you can research this Alzheimer's to find out the best way of preventing it in your way. And I'm pretty sure it's going to come up that you need to, or the person coming down with Alzheimer's, that the first thing they should start doing is exercising your brain. The more you exercise your brain, the stronger it gets. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. we've been talking voting, preventing Alzheimer's, and a lot of commentary on the show. It is the last day of August, folks, and it's a great day. I just don't like to mention it that summer's leaving. I'm just such a fan of summer. It's almost frightening. I love summer so much. All righty. We're going to be manufacturing jobs are leaving Chicago, are leaving the state, actually. And that's a bad thing. And I'm pretty sure it probably has to do more with taxes. The astronomical taxes that the people here in Chicago and the state of Illinois that we pay. Wow. Okay. We talked about cars being shotted on the Dan Ryan Expressway. We talked about that yesterday. And two brothers appear in court. I mean, they are being arraigned on the death of Dwayne Wade's cousin. And Dwayne Wade is a bull now. He is a bull. And I'm pretty sure once the basketball season is in full bloom, all eyes are going to be on Dwayne Wade. I mean, all eyes are going to be on this guy, you know, because he is, I think he's about 35 years old. Anyway, in some circles, in some basketball circles, that's pretty old. You know, I wished I was 35, but in sports, that's old, you know, but he still seemed to believe that he can do something. The coaches believe that he can do something. He's a very talented guy, and he's a nice dude. He's a really nice person. I haven't met him in person, but from seeing him on television and in video, he's really, really seems like a really nice guy. And The Chicago Cubs, I want to say something about the Chicago Cubs. They are winning their asses off. I am so proud of the Chicago Cubs because they're giving Chicago a good name. Most people, when they think of Chicago, they think of the blood, the carnage. They think of the crime. But there's more to Chicago. I've said this on many shows, there's more to Chicago than blood and crime, even though you can't escape those two things in Chicago. But we have the Cubs, we got the Bulls, we got Michael Jordan. we've got the downtown loop. It's beautiful. It's pretty. It's a great place to take your family. We have Navy Pier. We go there just about twice every year. It is magnificent. Chicago has a lot to offer. This is why I say to the powers that be, do something about the rising and out of control crime. And I'm addressing the mayor, the governor, the superintendent. You guys are getting paid. I mean, this is your state. This is your city. You are responsible for protecting the citizens of the state, city, and elsewhere within this area here. It doesn't make sense how, I don't see how these guys can go to sleep at night knowing that a three-year-old has been shot in the back of the head while sleeping in the bed. I don't see how these guys can sleep at night knowing that people cannot come out of their homes because they're afraid of getting shot. Knowing that a 12-year-old can't go to the park because the gangbangers are controlling it. You know, women are afraid to walk outside for fear of being raped or robbed or mugged or whatever, you know, and this is happening all the time. I'm going to even say something about CTA, Chicago Transit Authority. I mean, you want us to ride your train. You want people to ride your train. You got to protect people when they're getting on your train. I would think a lot of lawsuits would be, I would think a lot of lawsuits are up their asses because people are suing them left and right when they, you know, board these trains, stand on the platform 12 or 1 o'clock at night, and some mugger comes up and with a gun, puts a gun to their head and demands their phone. I would think CTA would have a lot of lawsuits because of that. Because anytime you're using something that belongs to someone else, they are supposed to, in my mind, protect you. You know, see that you're protected riding your train or their plane. You know, if you're using something of theirs. That's my thinking. And it's pretty rational, I would say. So these guys, they have to do something about the crime. This show is about making the world a better place, but this show cannot do it all by itself. You know, we can't do it all by ourselves. We've got to have participation. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the on Blog Talk Radio, straight out of the city of Chicago. It is 7:02. I believe it's around 71 or 72 degrees near the lake. But you know what? It's humid out. So being humid makes it feel as if it's a little bit warmer, you know, so. But it's great. It's a great day, and I totally appreciate all you guys.
But I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war. I love war in a certain way.
Please welcome Martin O'Malley from Maryland.
My fellow Americans, President of the United States is the toughest job in the world. And I come here before you as a man who knows Hillary Clinton well. I have worked alongside her, and I have competed against her. And I'm here to tell you that Hillary Clinton is as tough as they come. She will stand up to ISIS, she will stand up to the Russians, and with Tim Kaine at her side, she will never stop fighting for our children and our families, because Hillary Clinton knows when our families are strong, America is strong. Now, Donald Trump, he's a different story. He will not fight for us. He feeds off of economic fears and failures, stirs up false divisions and ancient hates, turns anger into a political weapon. But my friends, anger never fed a hungry child, did it? Anger never protected a family's home or sent a kid to college. Anger never built a great republic. I say, to hell with Trump's American nightmare. We believe in the American dream. We believe, as Hillary Clinton believes, that no American family who works hard should have to raise their children in poverty. Donald Trump, on the other hand, has actually said, quote, wages are too high. Wages are too high. Really, Donald? I'll tell you what's too high. College tuition is too high. I'll tell you what's too high. The cost of childcare, that's too high. The number of American children who live in poverty, that's too high. Donald Trump's opinion of himself, that's way too high. You see, actually, Donald, American wages, in fact, are too low. Our economy isn't money. It is people. It is all of our people. And Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine will fight to make sure that every family who's willing to work hard can actually get ahead again in America. On climate change, like you and me, and in fact, like our children and grandchildren, Hillary Clinton believes in science. She understands that climate change is not only a real threat, it's also the greatest job creation opportunity to come to the United States in 100 years. Now, Donald Trump, on the other hand, does not believe in science. He says, and again I quote, "The concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese." I'll tell you what, if the Chinese were really capable of designing some kind of diabolical farce to hurt America, they wouldn't invent global warming. They'd invent Donald Trump. This much we know for sure. Donald Trump has been a bully his whole life. But here's what I learned in elementary school on the playgrounds. Bullies are really just cowards in disguise. The America we love does not engage in torture. The America we love does not build walls and shameful for-profit prisons. The America we love does not lock up women and children in disgraceful immigrant detention camps. Unlike that immigrant-bashing carnival barker Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton understands the enduring symbol of the United States of America is not the barbed wire fence. It is the Statue of Liberty. And so, my fellow Democrats, anger and fear had their moment last week, but now it is our time. Time to stand up for each other. Stand up for our shared promise. Stand up for the goodness and the hope in every American heart. It's time to put a bully racist in his place and a tough woman in hers. The White House, Hillary Clinton, Tim Kaine, forward together, stronger together. The country we carry in our hearts is waiting.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Your president sent a letter out to every school district in America 2 weeks ago. Obama. Don't get quiet, because 8 years ago, y'all was dancing in the streets. Let's be honest. You was twerking, backsliding, somersaulting. We got Obama, we got Obama. Negroes ran around and said, we have arrived! The president is black. Now look at you 8 years later. Has done absolutely nothing for you or your children. I know he's president of all the people. I understand. But all the people are not gay, but he damn sure looked out for them. I understand he's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a Latino, but he looked out for them. He's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a woman, but he damn sure gave white women the Equal Pay Act. So why is it that he got to be president for everybody when it comes to us? But it's okay for him to just be concerned with gay folks sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with Latinos sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with illegal immigrants sometimes. He can pay particular attention to every other non-white community in America, but when it comes to you, you're not allowed to expect anything from him. So Obama sent this letter telling the school districts of America that if you don't want to lose your special ed money, and if you don't want to lose your JROTC money, and if you don't want to lose your No Child Left Behind money, and if you don't want to lose your Title I money, you must allow transgender children. This is 2 weeks ago. This is new news. You must let transgender students use the bathroom of the gender with which they identify. This is what's going on now. So by the new year in New York City, you're going to have a situation where a boy can go into your daughter's bathroom because he's in the process of changing his gender. You're going to have a situation where girls can go into the boys' bathroom because she's in the process of changing her gender. Now, here's my issue with this. I'm an educator. I'm a school principal. The schools are out of control enough as it is. There's no law and order in the high schools anyway. So how do you add further confusion? By now removing the sign off the door that says girl and the sign off the door that says boy and replace it with a sign that looks half boy and half girl, which basically says do as you please. Well, guess what, black folks? This is your fault more than Obama's. Because it was we who championed him and his election and stayed loyal. Even when he did nothing after the Trayvon Martin verdict. Stayed loyal when he refused to do anything about the systematic police extermination of black folks. You stayed loyal. Somebody said, we must protect him because he looks like us. Bill Cosby looked like your ass too. But you ain't rushing to help Bill. You let the bourgeoisie manipulate you and your loyalty into defending Negroes who are pro-status quo. Obama don't care about nobody in this room, but because you suffer from a paralysis of analysis and because you did not ask critical questions of him 8 years ago, our children will suffer from the aftermath 30, 40 years from now. Let me tell you why Obama was put in office. I want you to be clear. Every president is given a domestic agenda and a foreign agenda. Every president. Regardless of who goes in the White House next year, whether it's Hillary or Trump or whomever. They're going to be given a foreign mandate, a domestic mandate. Obama's foreign mandate was to open up Africa's resources to exploitation again. He did that with AFRICOM. America has recolonized Africa on a level we've never seen before under Obamaism. And our African brothers and sisters are just as brainwashed as you are. I was in Africa on the eve of Obama's first and second election. And I couldn't tell them brothers and sisters nothing. Just like you, they had an Obama psychosis. God sent them, Jesus sent them, Muhammad sent them. So when Obama came to their table, they opened up the resources because his daddy allegedly was an African. That was the foreign mandate. Take back Africa. Guess what the domestic one was? Check this out. 8 years ago, the United States government, Hillary Clinton, because she's a population control junkie, we're going to get to that in a minute, because a lot of y'all are pro-Hillary. First of all, I disagree with anybody who creates a dichotomy of any white person or people whatsoever. To paint Trump as the devil means Hillary is an angel. You should not be doing that. You're confusing your children. Hillary is no better than Trump. They are the same when it comes to African people. There's no difference there. The difference is only in your mind. See, white supremacy operates through the names, the titles. They said power is the ability to do what? What is power? The ability to define reality and make the victims accept your definition. Like you. You believe you exist in freedom. What the hell is free about you? You're not free. Freedom is the ability to do exactly what white folks do, when they do it, and how they do it, economically and politically. Are you free to buy a home anywhere? Are you free to work wherever you want? Is your child free to go to school wherever you choose? You were never free. You were emancipated. Abraham Lincoln gave you an emancipation. But the 13 colonies declared independence. Why were the colonies independent, but Africans were emancipated? The word emancipation is a business concept that speaks.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show? You will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
Apparently, there's a tribute going on in the cinema, a tribute to Gene Wilder, no relation. They are showing his movies all around the place, the producers, Blazing Saddles. I remember seeing Blazing Saddles when I was a kid, a lot younger than I am now. And I thought it was just hilarious. I thought, it's playing around town, especially in some of these parks, movie night out in the park for free. And you can see Blazing Saddles right behind me screen here is another one of Gene Wilder's movies, The Producers. And Young Frankenstein. I think he was superior in all three of these Mel Brooks movies. And I'm a Mel Brooks fan, even though after Gene Wilder, I guess he reluctant to do any more Mel Brooks movies. You know, Mel Brooks movies became sort of ridiculous. You know, I have a movie called The History of the World, and it's totally a waste of time, but it's Mel Brooks. It's good to be the king, huh? It's Mel Brooks. So Gene Wilder, I mean, he was a great comic actor, but if you saw him doing an interview, he was not funny at all. He was more serious than ever. He was dead serious. He is or was a different persona in person than he was on the screen, because he was a very, very serious individual. I mean, he said it himself. He said, I'm funnier on the screen than I am in person doing interviews. And he's exactly right. He was almost boring, you know. And he stopped making movies in 1991. He could have carried on. I think his last movie that he's ever made was with Richard Pryor, called Another You. And a lot of these Richard Pryor movies, except for Stir Crazy, that he made, I believe they were flops. I believe they were heavily criticized by critics in a negative way. You know, so he, I think because of that, maybe some of that anyway, he may have just gave up on movies. But you know what? He was not idle. Just because he didn't make a movie after 1991, he was not idle. The guy became a writer. He wrote books, short stories and books. I mean, they're all over Amazon and Barnes and Noble and wherever their books are sold. You can find a Gene Wilder book. And I've sampled some of the stuff, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. He was a great writer. I knew about him being a writer even before his death. You know, I heard about him being a writer. And so he did not, you know, stop being busy because he had quit acting. He quit acting. His reasons for quitting acting was that, you know, it just, things had changed so much from the time he did The Producers and Willy Wonka, which we do have the movie here, Willy Wonka. It's a great, great Gene Wilder movie. And he's all over the place right now because people are throwing tributes for him by showing his movies, especially the better ones. Now, there are some movies he made that they were totally garbage, you know, and I'm not going to mention them. You know, most of the movies that were not too good were movies where Gene Wilder himself wrote. He wrote the movie, and he also directed the movie and sometimes produced it. So he was an all-around talent. That was no doubt about it. He was an all-around talent, but he was a serious, serious guy. And on the day of his death, they were saying that he was very, very thin. And I mean, when the last interview that I saw on television with Gene Wilder, he was really thin. I was thinking, man, this guy is so thin. But he was awake, and he was healthy, and he was talking. He was giving the interview. You know, he's talking about his movies. He was talking about his books. He was a prolific author. I mean, he was a great writer. So even though Gene Wilder is gone, we still have his movies and we still can have his books. He left a lot behind that we can devour and laugh at, you know. And the last words that I heard that he said, that he didn't want anybody to know that he had Alzheimer's because he did not want there to be one less smile in the world. So he kept his Alzheimer's under wraps, and it finally killed him. And that's why I was saying earlier about Alzheimer's, that it can be cured, but most of all, get it before it starts to set in. And the best way to do that is to exercise your brain and talk to your doctor. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to do this, and we will be back. You got it?
Father,
The air, folks. I hope you join me tomorrow. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. We are off the air. I'm off the air. I don't know why I'm always saying we. It ain't nobody but me. And you know what? I'm discovering that I am not the only one who out there who are...